Amen. Amen. Good morning, church family. Good morning, church family. Amen. Are we glad to be here today? Amen. Well, let's give God a hand clap of praise. Amen. Amen. We so quiet. I thought we were at a convention. Amen. We're in church. We should come with praise on our lips. Amen. Amen. Because God has been good. Has he not? Has he not? He's been good. Amen. So give him some praise in here. Amen. Come on. Glory be to God. He is worthy to be praised. Amen. 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 Let us bow our heads. Father God, we come to you today, Lord God, to say thank you now for this once again another opportunity to come into your place of worship and to worship you for all that you've done for us, Master. For we know we can't be where we are today without you. So we come to say thank you. We come not only just to say thank you, Master, but we come to lay down our burdens today, our issues, our cares, our troubles, our trials and our tribulations. We come to place them on the altar, and we ask that you take them, Master, so that our way will be easier and lighter. We come now to say thank you for your presence, because it is your presence that we seek, Master, when we come. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for comforting us. Thank you for sharing with us. We pray now, Father, that you teach us something today that will give us strength, that will give us power. It's in your Son Jesus Christ's holy name we pray. Let every heart say amen. Amen. We now have our opening hymn 391. freedom. Amen. Let us bow our heads. Our Father God, we come to you today. Master, we come knowing that you are our God. And not only that you are our God, but you are the only God. You're the only one with all power. You're the only Father, the only Creator, the only Supreme Being. Besides you, there is no other. There is no one greater than you. So we come to you, Lord God, asking you for your power and for your greatness, for it to be seen in our lives. For Master, as the children have sung a song that shares with the world the plight of the man of color. For we have been through many a trials, many a tribulations. Master, we've seen things that's unthinkable. We endured things that are unthinkable. We endured things that are inhumane. Master, we've overcome, been treated less than a human. We've been spat on. We've been hung. We've had dogs sat on us. We've been shot for no reason. Burned, torched, tormented. We've been even said that we are descendants of apes. But Master, we know who we are because of you. You've shown not only us, but you've shown the world just who we are. Because of all the things we've been through, we are still yet here. And we are still yet overcoming. We are still yet climbing. We are still yet showing that we have power beyond the power that any man thought that we could ever have. So we come this morning to say thank you for being our God. Thank you for allowing your greatness to be in our lives, because we are sure that we would not be here without your assistance. Because they tried to extinct us. They tried to get rid of us. But because you are our God, we're still here. Not only are we still here, but we're making a difference in this world. So we come to say thank you, because we're able to do these things through your power. Through your greatness, through your love, and through your kindness, are we able to overcome all of the trials and all of the tribulations. We come to say thank you. We're so thankful because you are with us. We're so thankful because you are out in front of us. As long as we follow you, we know we can make it through all things, because all things are built for our good. To make us better, to make us stronger. That's why we are who we are today. We are the strongest that can be found. We are your people. Thank you this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Let every heart say amen. 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 We ask now that the officers will come for the purpose of our tithing and offering. before I pray, I got to tell you the cutest thing. That baby was trying to figure out why she had to give Jesus her money. Amen. 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 Let us bow our heads. Our Father God, we come to you today, Lord God, to say thank you for these gifts that have been given here today. And we pray, Master, that we use them according to your word, that we may be able to please you in all that we do. We ask now these blessings in your Son, Jesus Christ's holy name, we pray. Amen.
Father, Son,
Amen. Every time I feel the Spirit moving in my heart. Amen. Anybody in here today feel the Spirit of God moving in your heart? Amen. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. If God is moving, you ought to be saying so. Amen. Amen. I was told that that is an action word, which means you got to do something. All right. You sitting quiet, you're not saying so. I'm just saying, amen, amen, amen. Let us bow our heads. Father God, we come to you to say thank you, Master, for this opportunity, Master, to stand before your people. For we know that we stand in the shoes of Jesus, but we do not have the power of Jesus. It is only through you and through him will they hear you. It's only through your Spirit will they learn what you've sent to them. And Master, we pray that whatever is sent today will find fertile soil. And not only find that fertile soil, but it will find root, Lord God, and grow to be a powerful tree. So when the winds of life gets to blowing and the storms of life gets to raging, they can stand in the midst of the storm. We ask now these blessings in your Son Jesus Christ's holy name. We do now pray. Let our hearts say amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. And this message is for predominantly our babies today. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6. Verses 1 through 3. And like you today, I'm not turning pages. Amen. My wife gave me a beautiful Valentine's gift. She said she was tired of me preaching from my cell phone. I said, I'm fine with my phone. She said, I'm not. So I really don't know if this gift is for her or for me. Amen. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. And it reads, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Listen to this, for this is right. Number 2 says, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Listen to this, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on this earth. Amen. May God add a blessing to the hearers and the doers of his word. Before we get into this message, there are a couple of words that I want the children to hear. The first one is that word that I read for you that says commandment. For this text is talking about a commandment from God. And a commandment is a strong direction from God. And it's concerning a particular matter which he wishes to be observed. And the other word is promise. A promise is a declaration or an assurance that one will do a particular thing or that a particular thing will happen. In short, what I'm saying to you is that this is a commandment from God for there to be certain things to happen in your life. There are certain things you must do. And that first thing that you must do as a child of God, you must honor thy mother and thy father. Amen. And let me say this. I'm not only preaching to the children. I'm preaching to the grown children as well. Because the Bible didn't make a distinction. It said child or children. It didn't say youth or babies or adults. And so I can talk to all of us about this same topic. Because some of us grown children are honoring our mothers and our are not honoring our mothers and our fathers today. But God wants us to understand that it's very important for us to honor our mother and our father because it has connection to something that we all desire to have. And we all desire to live on this earth peacefully for a long period of time. The Bible says that it's impossible for you to live peacefully for a long period of time on this earth if you do not honor thy mother and thy father. Where are you going with that, Reverend? God here is setting up a proper channel of authority. If you have the child that is the authority giver, then that's a problem. Because God doesn't flow from bottom up. He flows from top to bottom. And so if you got the child who's given the authority, then we have a problem. Because first of all, the child does not have the wisdom that God intends for them to have in their life because they have not gone through enough stuff. And so if the child is the parent, we got a problem. And in some of our situations, the children are the parent. How you know that, Reverend? Because they run in your house. They run in you. Instead of you being the parent, you allow them to govern you versus you governing them. It bothers me when I look at the world today and so many of us are our children's friends. Now we're hanging out with them, we're going to the clubs with them, we're sitting down, we're smoking with them, we're doing all kinds of stuff with children nowadays that we never seen before. I remember when I was coming up, if my mom and them was doing some things that was above a child's level, they'll send me to a room. They say, go to the back. Grown folks up here talking. And grown folks up here doing grown folks things. But nowadays, the children are sitting right amongst their, the grown folks doing grown folks stuff. I know you're saying, Reverend, what are you talking about? You don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, I do. I went to one of my coworkers' house when I was in college, and they started smoking marijuana right there in front of us. And this was my manager. And it bothered me, not so much that she was smoking in front of me and she didn't ask me, but their five-year-old daughter was sitting right next to her. And she kept smoking marijuana and didn't send the child away. How can they honor you if you don't give them something to honor? Lord, have mercy. I know what I'm talking about, but I forgot to tell you what the topic of this sermon is if you haven't already figured it out. Yes, God has kept his promise, will we? Because God has given us a gift. He has given us children to take care of. But not only has he given us children to take care of, he's given us them children to rear, to lead, and to show how to be Christians. But also, it's upon the children to receive that teaching. Look at them all on back there on their phones. I just ratted them out. I just snitched. Because all of them back there on their phones, I know they're not supposed to be. But that's part of rearing and governing children. Because when I came up, we wouldn't feel comfortable enough to do what they were just doing. Because if mama was sitting out in the pew and she looked up and saw that, she would give me that look. And I know all of us have received that look before. And my mama was a sweet lady. But if Anna Ruth do this right here, baby, I knew after service there was going to be some problems. And the problems would be on my end, not on her end. Do I have a witness here? God has asked us to do something, and we must do it in order to receive such a beautiful promise. Our children, even us who are grown children, we must learn to live according to the word of God and to the will of God instead of to our own lusts, our own desires. We must live according to what God has asked us to do. And first thing that God has asked us to do is to live according to the authority that he set. Not according to your own authority, but according to the authority that he set. Because if you live according to the authority that he has set, you will find that this authority will create peace in our society. Are we not lacking peace today? We are so lacking peace in our society today because we have allowed children for so long to govern themselves. This is how we parent nowadays. Go to your room and play your game. And we don't know what they're doing in the room with the game that they're playing. Because they got access to all kinds of stuff. You know, back in the day when they sent us to the room, yeah, we were going to play that little burnt up video game. But nowadays, when they go to have a phone, they have a TV. I'm sorry, not a TV, but a smart TV. They have laptops, iPads. Everything they need to get to something they don't need to see. God's asking us to raise our children in a way that's pleasing to him. To give them the things that they need so they can become a vital person in society. Someone who can add to society instead of taking from society. Are we raising our children to be those type of people? Are we being stern with our children and firm with our children? You know, I'm preaching to myself on that one. Because you can ask my wife, when it comes to them girls, I'm like butter. Whatever they say, I milk. When they call me, especially if they say daddy, it's just something about when they say daddy, I just fall apart. And it's tough sometimes to be a hard teacher. But God is asking us to be a hard and stern teacher because our children need that in order to make it through the society that they're living in. Be soft with them all you want to. This culture that they're living in will eat them up. It will suck them up, consume them, and then they have you asking, who is that? Because I didn't raise them. This culture has the ability to grab them and pull them in like never before. It's so attractive to them. It's so catching to them. Watch this. How many of you children back there know what no cap mean? Okay. It's not a derogatory term. But it's a very important term in their culture. Reggie, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, you do. Don't shake your head to my no. No cap just means that it ain't fake. They're not lying. That's all it means. That's all what no cap means. I didn't say anything derogatory. But you didn't know what it means, did you? No. So how are you going to parent to what you don't know? How are you going to parent to what you don't understand? How are you going to parent to something you have no idea as to what's going on? You saw them raise their hands, even the little baby on the end know what no cap means. And that term was started by grown folks, talking about gold teeth. It's time for us to realize that there's a certain thing that we have to do. As parents, we got to stand strong. As children, we got to listen. We got to listen what our parents teach us, what our parents show us, because they know more than we know. They've been where you're trying to go. That's why a lot of times when y'all think you're getting away with something and you find out your parents know about it, you figure out, how do they know that? Because they did it. They did it too. We all have done some things that we're not proud of as children. We all done some things in our lives when we were coming up that we were not proud of. That's why we have experiences, and God intends for us to use those experiences to teach our children. Stand hard and strong like your parents used to stand hard and strong with you, and stop being soft. The Bible requires this. As a matter of fact, Proverbs says this. Proverbs says in Proverbs 13:24, he that spareth the rod. Watch the strongness of the terms now. He that spareth the rod
hateth his son. But he that loveth him, chastening him, betimes. And betimes means sooner than later. The Bible said that if you don't discipline your child, you don't love your child. You know why? Because you're setting them up for failure. They'll have a distorted view of what real authority is. So when they get out there in the world, they can't accept real authority because you've never taught it to them at home. Spare the rod. Spoil the child. I remember my mom used to say, baby, this is going to hurt me more than you. I'm like, how in the world is this possible? Because in my mom's heyday, she was a tall, strong, powerful woman with big hands. That's why most of my family, when you guys see them, you see they're big, tall people because we come from big, tall people. And when my mom used to reach back from heaven and hit me, I was thinking that she was knocking me in hell because I felt like something had went through my body. And she would say, it hurts me more than it hurts you. And when I became a parent, I realized what she was saying because it makes it so hard for you to whoop your own child because your love is so strong for them. But then when you realize true love will make you chasten them, will make you discipline them, will make you show them what real authority is versus you giving them everything they want. Nowadays, we give our children everything. We don't discipline them. We don't tell them the truth half the time because we tell them they can do some stuff that they can't do. I know I'm telling the truth because we give participation trophies. They're not good at all, but as long as they show up, they get a trophy. Amen. Do you not know you're distorting their view when you give them a... when they get the same trophy as the child who hit all the home runs, you are distorting their view. You're giving them a false identity. God intends for us to be honest with our children. Point them in the right direction. You can't point them in the right direction. You tell them they're great in everything. We're not, you, none of us are great in everything. God kept his promise. Will we keep it when we keep ours? It's our duty as parents to make sure that we show them what discipline is, what self-control is, what authority is. It's our job. And Proverbs 6 tells us to do this. Proverbs 22, I'm sorry, and 6 says this. Train up a child in the way they should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. That don't mean they won't fall. That means if they do fall, the foundation that you laid will eventually show up and they'll return back home. Will you do what God asked you to do as a parent? Will you do what God asked you to do as a child? Because not only are we honoring him by doing our part as parents, but children, you are honoring him by doing your part as a child. Amen. By respecting your parents, honoring what your parents teach you, listening to what your parents tell you to do. They're not just trying to control you. They're trying to give you the things that you need to make it in this world. If we don't do this, we will find ourselves in a sad situation. I'm going to give you some stats. I'm going to sit down. According to the Every Town publication, listen to these numbers. Gun violence is the number one thing for death for children between 1 and 19 years old. Gun violence. Every year, on average, 19,000 children are either shot and killed or shot and wounded. 19,000. Listen to this. 3 million children every year are exposed to gun violence. 17%, I'm sorry, black children are more 17% more likely to be shot than white children. Someone is missing the mark. If we don't become stern and be the parents that our parents were, we're going to continue to see these numbers go higher, because their culture teaches them that death at a young age is okay, as long as they're getting their gangster on, as long as they're being the thug that they ought to be. And listen, not being a thug is a lame thing now. Being a good guy is not what children are striving to be nowadays. Educators can tell you, I'm not lying. They deal with them all the time. The cool thing now is to be a gangster, the drug dealer, a thug, a rapper. When did it become popular to be a stripper? It's popular. Because now strippers got LLCs, getting PPP money. Oh, y'all didn't know that? I'm educating a whole lot of folks today. If we don't parent the way we should parent, our children are falling into this culture that's teaching them that it's okay to call themselves the B word. You cannot turn the TV on now without hearing the girl say, I'm a boss, you know what? And they think it's okay. Because mainstream said it's all right. Our young folks are going to fall if we don't step in, because their culture is infested with the spirit of the downward traveler and the spirit of Jezebel. Their culture teaches them it's good to be a wayward woman. It teaches them it's okay to hook up. And y'all know, some of y'all know what hookup even means, but they do. Because they're hooking up now, even in elementary school. I'm going to say one last shocking thing, and I'm going to take my seat. They are participating now in things that you should only do as a married person. And you got permission from the other person to do it. And they say it's okay, because if they do that, they stay a virgin. One deals with the anus, and the other one deals with the mouth. They are doing this in elementary school. Y'all heard me now. I didn't say high school. Elementary. It's time for real parenting. And stop trying to be your kids' friends. God needs some godly folks to give godly instructions to their children, so that children know how to be godly when they're out there in the world that's waiting to suck them up. And teach them these things that not even you do. And he's not waiting till they get grown. God promised them a peaceful life and a long life. But you got to give them the instructions that God gave you to give them to be who God intends for them to be. Give God a hand clap of praise. The doors of our church are now open. If there be one who do not know God and free pardon of your sins, your time is now. The Bible says, find God while he is near, for surely shall come a time when God cannot be found. The doors of my Father's house are now open.
let us bow our heads. Our Father, we come to you, Master, to say thank you for your instructions here today. And Master, we pray we don't take them lightly. For the enemy is not playing with our children. And we pray that we're not playing with them either. I pray, Master, that we are standing strong on your principles when it comes to us leading them, guiding them, advising them, and instructing them. Because we want them to follow you and not the world. Now, Master, we pray as we leave this place that you go before us and that you move all obstacles out of our way. Watch over and protect us until we return to this place where you have chosen to place your name. It's in your Son Jesus Christ's holy name we do now pray. And let every heart sing.